This is World Religions Explained. I am your host, Kyle Cottle. Thank you for joining me today. Today, we are going to talk about Confucianism. Confucianism is definitely a philosophy over a religion. So I will just make that clear right now. But a religion generally involves a supernatural being, but what it is at its core is a set of beliefs that people agree upon and work together on to live the best life possible. And I believe that many non-supernatural things can basically be religions. I even view politics as a religion in many ways. This is because how people view their beliefs and certain ideas and how strongly people are tied to their political parties. This is kind of like Confucianism. It is more a set of beliefs which was politically influenced. And because of this, there's no set god to worship. This is a philosophy that you can follow while being involved in another religion. But, as I said, many times philosophies act as religions. So, Confucianism is still considered a major religion. So let's go from there. Now, there are writings of Confucianism, even though they may not be seen as sacred like other religions that have people called of God writing them. But the writings in Confucianism are called Analects. And again, one more time, because this is a philosophy, these writings are revered but not seen as spiritually higher than other things. They're seen as the teachings of Socrates are seen. It's like many people look at the teachings of Socrates that weren't even written by him. Most were written by Plato about what Socrates said. And they're just revered. So the Analects are written down just like Socrates were. They're written down by disciples of Confucius throughout the years, and they're handed down. Just like you see in many of these other things, they're originally orally transmitted. And in the Analects, we have a ton of teachings from Confucius. And Confucius claims that he didn't invent any of these ideas. So although we might think Confucianism started from original ideas from Confucius, he just took what he had already been, he'd seen and what had been said for centuries. So while he didn't create any of these ideas, and they may not be original, he made these ideas more popular through his teaching. And he kind of organized them. I guess that'd be the best way to put it. Now the background is Confucius was born September 28th, 551 BC. He was born in China at a time when it was separated into 14 states. There wasn't cohesion like there was before. Confucius knew about the Zhou dynasty, which lasted for centuries before his birth. He loved how it ran through bloodlines and rituals, and he thought that creating a correct way of thought was a way to unite China again. Unfortunately, during his life, he didn't make too much of an impact. Because of this, after his death, there are multiple breakoffs of what he taught. One staunch follower of Confucius's teachings was a man named Mencius, and he was born in 371 BC. So you see, that was a little bit after Confucius's time. He really pushed against the ideas of collectivism and individualism. And that means that people should be subject under rulers and that the individual has a moral worth respectively. So collectivism, that people should be under rulers. Individualism is that you are individually worth something. But he taught more the middle ground. And that we aren't necessarily individuals because we are affected by everyone, but that we also shouldn't be inherently ruled over by others. He taught that division of labor was good. And this meant that everyone wasn't just about agriculture and making money. Remember at the time, if you know or don't know this, that was a big moneymaker is agriculture. And just like a lot of politics, is it's all about making money, and he taught against this. He said things like intellectual involvement in society was also of extreme importance, even if it isn't bringing in the money. And as we talked about, there are divisions after his death. There was another follower around that time, a little later. His name was Junqi, and he was born in 300 BC. And unlike Mencius, he thought that people weren't inherently good and believed that ritual was needed to create that goodness. It took effort for people to become good. They both believed in the idea that the individual could become perfected through doing the right things. So even though they did disagree on certain things, they both did believe that the individual could be perfected. And slowly, Confucianism started taking hold in China. It took a while after his death, but it even became prominent thought before the turn of the new millennium. It didn't last long, though. This is because things like Buddhism and Taoism, what we'll learn next time, became more prominent. Centuries later, though, Confucianism started spreading into other countries like Korea, Japan, and Vietnam. It eventually started getting back into China also. For the past couple hundred years, it has slowly died through problems with belief that the thought has created destructive communist governments. There are also still definitely ideas of Confucianism that are used today, despite it not being the dominant idea. Now you're probably thinking, okay, so what do Confucianists believe? We'll get in that. So Confucius believed that everyone should try and be a superior person, or in other words, be an ideal person. Be the best person you can be. The question is how to become this type of person. The first thing that you must do is love others. So we see in a lot of religions, right? Love one another. Confucianism is big on the golden rule. Although Confucius kind of stated it in the negative rather than the positive, when he said something to the effect of "Do not unto others what you would not want others to do to you." Usually we think of "do unto others that you want others to do to you." Same thing, right? Basically, loving others consists mainly of treating others with respect because that's how you would want to be treated. Next way to be an ideal person is to use proper conduct with your relationships. Relationships are very important things for those who follow Confucius. It's really what it's all based off of. There are five main hierarchical relationships. These consist of a ruler to a subject, a parent to a child, a husband to a wife, older brother to younger brother, can also mean older sister, younger sister, and older friend to younger friend. As you can tell, though, these relationships might seem a little outdated in some sense, but they have a lot to do with age and gender. There was a lot of bias towards men being the head of women, the time period. Now, Confucius didn't necessarily believe that inherently everyone deserved respect. He did believe that it was a responsibility of the one higher up on the ladder to be helpful to the one to the lower one. So, as a parent, you have the higher right in the relationship, but because of that, you should be helpful. And the lower person, so the child, should listen and follow the correct advice from the higher one. So if you have spent time around certain Asians, it's still a thing that many of them follow. You'll see these relationships are still very much alive. Basically, if you look at something like a parent-child relationship, the parent gave you birth or gave the child birth, gave you what you needed to survive. Give you food, shelter, things like that. So now that you've grown old, you owe them because they gave you life, they preserved your life. Now you owe them in their old age to take care of them and to listen to them. Elders, kind of the same thing. Old people, they look and revere them. They've lived long, hard lives, learned much, and they deserve our respect and admiration. We should listen to their advice. Reverence for your family is of extreme importance. Family is the central unit to everything. And although there are many other units of organizations which positively and negatively affect each other, the family unit is a core to everything. This is because it's the most natural and you have the most influence over. If families are strong, cohesive, it makes for a much better society. That is where everything should start. Starts with your family. Now, if you listen to my Buddhism podcast, you may remember the Buddha teaching about the middle way. This means that you don't overindulge, but you also don't need to go to the extreme, punish yourself, and give up everything. Confucius taught this same thing, basically, a little different, but he believed that you get what you need, but you don't strive for excess. And this leads to being able to be a good compromiser. The issue is that when we want excess, we aren't willing to compromise, which leads to failed relationships, which can lead to poverty and death. And if we only strive for those things that we need, compromising becomes easy and relationships stay intact. So compromise, very important. Another way we strive to be an ideal person is to focus on the arts of peace rather than the arts of war. This is basically the idea of the word is more powerful than the sword. Things like hurting others is easy to do and it takes no practice. It doesn't build any real or lasting change. Becoming an expert at the art of peace is what creates a lasting change for the better. Peace helps hearts change, which will in turn make actions change. So those in political power especially should be focused much more on how to compromise peacefully rather than starting a war to get what they want. And why is that? Again, because the peace creates everlasting change while war doesn't. Confucius also believed that all relationships affect everyone. So first, as we already mentioned, family has a biggest influence on who you are. Next, your friends have influence. Bigger circle, generally you have more friends and family. Sometimes you don't. After that, your community influences you. How, you know, who you're around, the culture, then comes your nation. And even the biggest of all is all of humanity. So you are not yourself. You're part of everyone that influences you. And since all of humanity somehow influences you in one way or another, you are part of everyone. This is how Confucianism explains the self. You are who influences you. Because of this, you can see why relationships are so important. And why it's important to focus on peace and compromise. So overall, Confucianism is a philosophy that is very focused on relationships. These relationships all have hierarchies, and we should all follow that hierarchy as intended. So parents should rear their children in love, and the child should reciprocate that love through obedience and help later in life when their parents need it the most. The ruler should rule in righteousness and with a good heart, and the subject should follow their guidance and counsel. If all people follow this natural order of relationships, then nations would be at peace with each other, and peace would abound everywhere. So I hope you learned something from this, and again, please give me 5 stars. That'd be great if you're on Apple Podcasts. I don't know other podcasts if you can rate, but keep listening, tell your friends, and I hope you have a great rest of the day. Thank you for listening.